Something happened this year about a little less than 8 billion times. Now listen to the question, see if you can come up with the answer. Something happened this year a little less than 8 billion times. Anybody know what it was? Something happened this year a little less, about 7.5 billion times it happened this year. And a little less than 8 billion, it's approaching 8 billion times. But it'll happen this next year probably close to 8 billion times. Let me tell you, there were almost 8 billion birthday parties this year. And our theme for the Christmas season has been, the King is born. And we're going to read out of Luke chapter 2, if you bring that up, if you would. We're not yet. You ready? Okay. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrus was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And so she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so I want to talk to you this morning about birthdays. And we'll talk about it in just a second. But birthdays are important. Whether you know it or not, I love that sign on the interstate you go by sometimes. It says, there will be a test. And then it says, God. And there will be a final exam one day of our lives. And in fact, it says it this way in the book of Hebrews chapter 9. And it is appointed in the man once to die, but after this, the what? The judgment. Look at what Revelation 20 and 12 said. And I saw the dead, small and great, that's us, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And so one day we're going to stand for a final exam, and we're going to be before the Lord. And the Bible says that God is going to judge us. And one of the things that's going to happen is, one of the things on the final exam is going to be birthdays. So I want to give you the, how many's ever had the questions or the answers before you took an exam? Anybody ever had the answers before you took an exam? Let me give you the answers before you take this final exam. One of the things about birthdays is a celebration, not a party. We call it a birthday party, but really it's a birthday celebration. The party is about me, myself, and I, but a celebration is from the Latin word, which means to gather together to give praise to someone else. And a birthday is a birthday celebration, not a birthday party per se. And I think one of the things we need to learn as we're doing this year is today we're celebrating the Lord's birth. Come on, somebody. We're celebrating the birthday of Jesus. And there's four birthdays. On your final exam, when you stand before God that day, there's going to be four birthdays that's going to be on your final exam. Everybody say four. There's going to be four birthdays that is going to be on the final exam. When you stand before God one day, we all will, one of the major parts of the test, one of the major parts of the exam, one of the major parts that God is going to ask you about is going to be four different birthdays. What you're judged by, what you stand before God, whether you make heaven or hell, or what happens in heaven, it will be based upon four birthdays that you need to know the answer to. And so I'm going to give you all the answers already ahead of time so you can have it. Let me give you birthday number one that you're going to be questioned about on that day is the Lord's birthday himself, Christ's birthday. The birth of Christ was when God bridges between himself and man. That's when God, the Redeemer, came in the form of Jesus Christ. And what we celebrate tomorrow called the birth of Christ. And you got to imagine, listen, you've got to understand the difference that that made. I remember I read a book one time of an author, and he was a pastor, and he told the story. He'd gone to church one early when the holiday fell on the 25th. They're having a church service. He went to church very, very early to study and get ready and to pray. And when he's praying, he fell asleep on his desk, and he said he had a nightmare. And the nightmare was he dreamed that Christ had never come. And he said he's dreaming in his mind. He gets up, he's walking through his house. He knows it's December 25th, but there's no Christmas tree. There's no wreaths. There's no light. There's no candles. There's nothing that would even. So he walks outside the door and he looked around and there's not a church anywhere. He comes back in his house. He goes to his library and he's trying to find a book on Jesus. And he said, there's no books whatsoever because Jesus was never born. He said, about that time, a knock came on the door. And when he answered the door, there was a friend that said, can you come? My wife is dying. And he said, he ran over and he grabbed his Bible and he ran to the house where the woman was dying. And he said, the woman was dying. So he opened up his Bible. And when he did, it stopped at the book of Malachi. There was no New Testament. And he said, all of a sudden, he said, I didn't know what to say. He said, I had no words of comfort. I had no words of telling her. He said, and then a few days later, she died. And he said, I had to do the funeral. And he said, at the funeral, he said, I couldn't talk about a resurrection. I couldn't talk about everlasting. I couldn't. He said, I was so depressed. And he said, in my nightmare, I'm laying my head down on my desk. He said, I began to sob. And he said, what woke me up was, he said, I began to hear the choir had come earlier, the music team had come early that morning, and they had begun to practice. And he said, he woke up to the song, He's the Light. Come on, somebody. And he said, he jumped up, and he said, he could not believe the difference knowing that Jesus had been born. And on your final exam, that is going to be one of the questions, because believe it or not, there are people today that still don't believe Jesus was born or existed. There are people there that say, well, maybe, maybe not. Who knows? Who knows for sure? Let me tell you, there is evidence, historical. There is evidence, archaeology. All of those, there's more than enough group that Jesus was born. And that's going to be on your final exam. Let me tell you, there are groups of people that will not believe regard. Did you know in Florida, there are 1,700 members of a group called the Flat Earth Society that still believe the earth is flat? Look it up. And you know who they got on their front page? Shaquille O'Neal. And they got a quote from Shaquille O'Neal. He said, I've driven from Baton Rouge to Los Angeles. It's flat as can be. Come on, somebody. They still believe it. And there's people that believe that Jesus never existed. And there's people who don't even believe in a God. Let me tell you, there's not one demon or devil that is an atheist. Come on, somebody. Think about that. So you've got to believe this. The first birthday that you're going to be questioned when you get to heaven, on that final exam when you stand before God that day, did you believe that Jesus Christ was born? Do you believe that he came in the flesh? Do you believe that he was outwardly a Jew and inwardly Jehovah? Come on. He was outwardly humanity, inward deity. And I'm going to tell you, I love the greeting card that says, when you care enough to send your very best. Come on, somebody. The Father cared enough to send his very best. Number, that's the first birthday. The second birthday you're going to answer for is your own birthday. Your own birthday. Your second one is going to be your physical birthday. And what's important about my birthday? Well, if God didn't want you to be born, you wouldn't have been born. I don't care if you're a product of a rape. I don't care if you were an unwanted child. Anybody here an unwanted child? Maybe an unexpected child. You may have been unwanted by human, but not by God. There's not one child ever produced that God did not have a purpose for. I don't care what your situation in life is. I don't care what's going on in your life. There's no child that God did not, if God didn't want it, it wouldn't have happened. And so the reason you were born is you were born for a reason. In fact, Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet. Before you were ever born, God created. God had a purpose. Before you ever were created by your mom or your father, listen, God knew you. Even if you're a product of a rape, God knew you before you were born. And God brought you into being. In Matthew chapter 25, it says this. Then shall he say to them that are on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Now watch this. God did not create hell for people. He created hell for angels that had rebelled against him. God had no intention of any human being that he created for a purpose to ever end up in hell. And if they end up in hell, they only end up in a place that he created for the devil and his angels. It says, then you shall say to also them that are on the left, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. People choose to go to hell. People choose. But see, that's not what God created you for. Everybody in here, God had a purpose for you. Excuse me. Give me a bit of water. Everybody in here, God had a purpose. I think so. Let me get my voice back. You're not supposed to do that, but I got to do it. John chapter 14, verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place." You know what God prepared for you? God made every person that was ever born, God wanted you in heaven with him. He made houses. He made preparation. He made places for you to be. But you choose to do that. In John chapter 15, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Listen, he chooses everybody. He did not make people to go to hell. He made them to go to heaven. So the second birthday that you will answer for is your own birthday. And you'll have to answer because you were made for a purpose. You were made for a reason. The third birthday you're going to answer for is your spiritual birthday. Now listen to this very carefully. The third birthday that is on that final exam when you stand before God, number one, you'll have to answer about Jesus' birthday. Number two, you got to answer for your own birthday. But third is there's something called a spiritual birthday that you're going to answer for. And that is in John 3:3. It says this. Jesus answered and said unto him, Nicodemus, "Verily I say unto you, except a man be," say the words, "born what?" Born again. This is what we're going to call your spiritual birthday. It's different than your physical birthday. This is a spiritual birthday. "Verily I say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh." That's your physical birthday. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's your spiritual birthday. And so the key of it is, the third birthday you're going to give an account for when you stand before God is your spiritual birthday. Yeah, you were born. Yeah, you were physically born at such and such a time. You say, everybody goes to him. No, no, no. Just if I ask you, have you always been physically born? Say, no, no, I was born in 1955. Today I was filling out a thing this morning. How many know 1955 is a long time ago? You just keep strolling it down. It just keeps going and going and going. I go, Lord, how far? Half a century ago. And so when you think about that, you were born at a certain time. Same thing true with your spiritual birthday. It's not just that you were physically born, it's that you were born again at some point. And the Bible speaks of it this way. It says, to be born again means, literally it means, to be born from above. And one of the biggest things is, I'll never forget one time there was a guy, he went and he was helping a family, and they called and said, "Our mother's dying, she's on her deathbed." So he went there, and he said, he started ministering to her. He said, "Ma'am, let me just ask, are you a Christian? Have you been born again?" She said, "I don't know." So he started reading the Bible to her a little bit and said, "Here's what it says you can do to be born again." And she did. She prayed earnestly with her heart, believed in the Lord, confessed her sin, gave her life over. And she walked, and the pastor that was there by her bedside looked around at the family and said, "All of you should rejoice. Your mother just became a Christian. She just was saved." And the son-in-law said, "Nobody can know if they're saved or not. Nobody can know if they're saved. Nobody can really know if they're saved." And the pastor got his Bible and he turned to this verse in 1 John. Listen to this. "These things have I written." Help me, Lord. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might" what? Know that you have what? That you might know that you have eternal life. Listen, that you might know that you have. And he looked at this son-in-law and he said, "Do you know the Bible says you can know if you've experienced that second birth? You can know it." And the Bible says it literally means to be born again. In the Greek language, it means to be born from above, to be born from the Spirit. So somewhere in your life, after you have physically been born, you've got to experience this third birthday called spiritual birthday. You must be born again or you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not something you can imitate. It's not something you can just migrate to. You have to experience experience. I remember Mel Trotter, a great evangelist of years gone by. He used to be a drunkard. And I remember one day he was questioned, how do you know you're really saved? He said, because I was there. Come on, somebody. And the same is true it's true for you. You'll know it, that it happened. You'll know the time. You'll know the place. You'll know when it happened. You'll know when you went from darkness to light. It won't be something. And many times we say things like, well, I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I love this. Look at this right here. Go to the next exclamation point. Do I have that one? You know what a question mark is? A question mark is an explanation point with his head bowed. Show the exclamation point. Is that right? And you need to go from being a doubting Christian to a shout. Come on, shouting Christmas. You got to know that you all this doubting that I don't know if I'm really saved. Well, know it. Settle it. Because it will be on the final exam. You'll stand there. You'll talk about Christ's birthday. Then you'll talk about your physical birth. And then you're going to have to explain your spiritual birthday. What happened in it? What happened? So what does it mean? In the book of John, where it says that you might know that you have eternal life. You know that it occurs 38 times in 1 John? 1 John's got 5 chapters. 38 times he has the word know, that you might know, that you might know. So what is salvation? What is it that you're supposed to be assured of? Let me give it to you. Number one is, it means every sin is forgiven and buried in the grave of God's forgiveness. It means every sin you've ever committed, you know, has been forgiven you. Number two, it means the Holy Spirit has come to live within you. You're born from the Spirit. Third thing, it means that when we die, we are blessed assurance of a home in heaven. So that's what it means to have a blessed assurance, to know, to not to be a doubter anymore, to understand it. We continually question our own salvation. But listen, you've got to get to the place where you can say, as 1 John 5 says, these things I've written unto you that you might know you have eternal life. See, I have no doubt I'm going to heaven when I die. You'll get a report one day. Ben will be up here preaching. He'll say, well, Dad went home to be with the Lord. Don't you cry for me. I'm going to be shouting in the streets of glory. And then the closer you get, the older, I mean, the better you feel. That's coming along the way. So what does it mean to be born again? It means to be born from above. You need to have this. You need to experience that for yourself. And you need to know that God will receive you. Ephesians 2 says, by grace have you been saved, not through. Let me tell you how it happens. You cannot save yourself no more than you can make yourself be born physically. But what you have to do, you have to choose it. You have to choose to receive the grace of God. And you just ask him, say, God, save me, and God will save you. I love what it said. The Bible speaks about Moses. And Jesus was a great storyteller. And he told a story one time about Moses. And he said, in fact, we were walking to church this morning, and I was keeping my 3 grandkids, and I had 2 of them were little shepherds. And I told him, I said, they had their staff, you know, their rods, and I was trying to keep them from killing each other on the way to church and swinging it. And I said, won't you kill a lion or a bear? And Ryland said, only David does that kind of stuff. I said, all right. And then Isaac, who's 3 years old, he said, and Moses had a staff, and his brother threw it down and became a snake. I said, that's true. And Jesus told a story about Moses that one time the people rebelled and God sent serpents, snakes among them and bit them. And God told Moses to do a strange thing. He said, make a snake out of bronze, hold it up on a pole, and everybody that looks to it will be saved and healed. And Jesus, when he told the story, says, even so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. He was talking about the cross, when Jesus would be put on a cross like a piece of wood and held up for all the world to see. And the thing was, look unto him. And I love what Isaiah 45:22 says it this way. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look unto me. And let me tell you something about your spiritual birth. No, this is this. Listen, you cannot save yourself. All you can do is reach out to Jesus. And by faith you're saved, but that didn't pay the price. Jesus paid the price. And Jesus is the doctor. You don't know how to. All you have to do is call upon him and say, Lord, I need to be saved. And Jesus will save you. Give the Lord a good clap offer. Would you do that some more? Come on. All right. That's the third birthday. The fourth and the last birthday that you're going to answer for in your final exam before God is going to be, listen, it's really not a birthday. It's going to be, you're going to answer about your birthday gift. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4 and 10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As every man has received the gift, the word there used for gift in the Greek language was used the every day of a birthday gift. When on a birthday, you receive a gift. All of you have received gifts. Have you ever given anybody something and then later on found out they just kind of threw it away or they didn't like it or a buddy of mine, he used to get a lot of food from people and he was a finicky eater. So what he did was he named his garbage disposal Spot. And every time somebody asked him, did he like what I baked? Oh yeah, it hit the spot. I mean, it really hit the spot. But you have received a birthday gift that's the fourth thing that you're going to be questioned when you get to heaven is what did you do with the gift that God gave you? Every person in here has received a gift. Every person's received. Remember, your career is what you get paid, but your calling is what you were made. See, your career is for what you get paid, but your calling is for what you were made. And let your calling just be the thing that subsidizes your career, what subsidizes your calling. And you need to do that because you better have both. You discover why you were born. It'll be a day that will change your life. We have what we do. We'll start again in January. We have a four Sunday course that we do right after the church service. And in one of those, you discover what your gift is. We walk you through it. We show you what it is. And then you begin to fulfill what God made you for, the purpose that he made you. And you will give an answer to the gift that God gave you. The Bible, he told a parable one time. He said, one man got 10 talents, one got 5, one got 1. And every one of them was required from them. You know what I love? Jasmine, I don't know for how many years, almost 30 some years, she led worship for the kids. She led worship in the kids in the back. You know, she plays about 3 chords on a guitar. 5. She said 5 chords. She knows 5 chords. She knows 3 of them real good, but she knows 5 chords. And she lugged that guitar for how many years was it? 25 years she lugged that guitar up there and played her 5 chords. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, Just 5 chords. Some of you are classically trained. Now, some of you, please do not join the music. Some of you, I've heard you worship. God receives it. I just don't want to, but God will receive it. But whatever gift you've got, discover what it is. Because the final exam is, the fourth birthday deal is you will answer to God for what your gift was and what you did or did not do with it. You know, I love this because, I always tell people this, move from, when I've been successful in my life, you need to move from successful to significant. You need to move to a place where you begin. I remember one time we were doing something. It's like, I'll tell this story on Jason. Jason's out there, he got voted in. The superintendent of the Central School District. Well, he's out here making popcorn. I'm going to tell you, both of them are important. But I remember this one time we were doing something and we had one of the owners of one of the businesses was handing out water. And I remember one of the guys with me went over and apologized. Oh, we didn't know. We won't put you. I said, oh, no, no. He said, I do this, I do that. But this is the only eternal thing I've done all week long. It's the only eternal thing I've done all week long. Ministering, helping, doing. You do that within your job at the same time. But let me tell you something, is I love this. Whatever career is just a means to an end. You have an eternal spark in your life. And I love what it says in Matthew 16:26. The Bible says one day it's going to be, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Look at the next scripture. I love what it says. And his Lord said unto him, everybody say, well done. Some of you, you're going to come to the end of your life and God's going to say, well done. Some of you, God's going to come in and God's going to say, well, it's done. Well, that's the end of that. All right, that was short and sweet. All right, who does not have a candle? If you don't have a candle, everybody got a candle? If you don't have a candle, we got candles in the back right there. Grab them. Also, if you didn't get a piece of paper, we got a lot of extra candles, but they didn't come with the paper. So they have magically made some. And So if you didn't get a piece of paper, get a piece of paper and put it around the candle. They just got some paper and punched a hole in it, and it'll keep you from burning yourself. Yeah, in just a second. Yeah, get ready. If you didn't get a candle right quick. We just, yeah, keep it just that for just for a minute. Four birthdays will be on the final exam. Christ's birthday, what'd you do with it? Your own birthday, how'd you handle your life? Your spiritual birthday, maybe you've never had a spiritual birthday. Well, today the Lord would welcome you on the day before we celebrate His birthday. And then last is your spiritual gift. What have you been doing with that birthday gift that God gave you? Just set it on the shelf. You know, one of the keys I've learned in life is, you know, Paul the Apostle was a horrible speaker. You got to read about it. He says when he describes himself one time, how they're describing him. And he says very plainly, he said, they say that he's not very good at speaking, which he wasn't. He's a great writer. How many has ever saw somebody that's a great writer, but they're not a great speaker? And I've learned this, that you don't have to have the best gifts. You just have to be willing to be used of God. You don't have to have the best education. You just have to be willing to be used of God. And I've learned that years ago. I never let my lack of education or our education keep me from letting the Lord use me, what the Lord wants to do. I did it for 7 years. I pastored here single. Oh, that was a trip. I could tell you lots of stories on that. But I did 7 years single. I never let that be a limiting factor, that what I could or couldn't do in life. I just, God used me. I was sitting right here. And so one of the keys is can you imagine that day when that pastor went to sleep in his study and he dreamed that Jesus had never come? And that is just what's happening right now. I want to bring the lights all the way down. I won't do it for long, but bring all the lights all the way down. If you got small kids, they get afraid, hold on to them just for a second and bring it down. We got the Christmas tree, so we won't be able to do it there. But you know what? This is what it felt like. When that day when God said, let there be light. And if Bible speaks about Jesus, he says that he will bring light to those in dark places. What we're going to do is I want everybody to stand up if you would. If you got small kids, hold them, just go ahead and hold it. But what we're going to do is we're going to start lighting a few candles. And when your candle's lit, turn around and I want you to light the candle of the person behind you, would you? And we're going to pray because we believe that God, listen, this is the coming of Jesus into a dark world. And when he came in, he brought the light because he is the light of men. And so the Bible said, let there be light. Let's do that. Let's start lighting our candles. And it's amazing just what a little bit of light will do. And keep the lights all the way off. And when you get your candle lit, one's beside you, the one's behind you. And just kind of hold them down. You know, waist level or down your chest or so, just for a minute. And go ahead and kill the lights up here. You can kill the lights on me too. Just kind of kill them a little bit. And I wanted to kind of think of this as a birthday candle. Because we're celebrating not our own birthdays and our own gifts and giving and all that. We're celebrating the birth of the Lamb of God. Now, if we could kill everything, kill the projector lights, kill it all. If we can do that without harming anything. Go ahead and take the lights off the front. Go ahead and kill them completely if you can do that. Now, look at this. See, the day came in the middle of darkness when not by any... See, there's nothing man's doing in here right now. It's all doing. Do this with it. Just lift your candle up now. What's the difference when the light when it comes in? Look at that. Father, we thank you today for the light of Jesus Christ. Thank you that you change our lives forever. And thank you for every person in here, Lord, that needs you this morning, that they will cry out to you, just ask you, Lord, save me. We ask that in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said a good amen. Have I blow your candle out? What'd you do one time? Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. Give the Lord a good clap offering with a candle in your hand. He did. If you would, take your candle as you leave today. Take it to the back door and put it back in the box where we got it from. We'll reuse them again next year. Everybody say Merry Christmas. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.